American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Black Tuesday, July 5th, 2005. I call it Black Tuesday because every so often we come up with another Black Monday or a Black Tuesday or something like that. And it's, you know, there's one in the 20s, there was one in the 80s. And well, you know, when you look at some of the news stories I got today, I'm declaring today to be Black Tuesday for this current incarnation of the century. I'm here to tell you I got some pretty wild stories for you today. But this is Newsreel, your daily report as the woke counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. And even though we may have lost a couple battles today, not a big deal, don't you worry, because we will just go back to hell to regroup. Rant Media is taking a spandex. We're taking all the spandex can be sent to us because I like to wear it and feel super. When I'm wearing my spandex, I take a stand for free speech, and today, and just by listening, you are also taking a stand for free... fuck it, man! I'm totally screwing up the intro here! You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to the said live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa, some of the coolest people online. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can do what I did when you drink way too much coffee, and when you try to sweeten your coffee with something other than sugar, sometimes you can have problems, including mental derangements. And my personal problem is I tried to use this agave cactus nectar, and I think it's numbed the entire inside of my head. I don't really know how that works. I got that shampoo brain thing on the go now. Actually, it's not the agave cactus nectar. It's probably because I was up till 4 in the freaking morning trying to answer email. But on the upside, at least I got all my email answered for this particular shift. I had like 300 emails in there. You know, I'm here to tell you, man, there's like a never-ending onslaught of email. And that's a good thing because that means that a lot of people are breaking the first two rules of Fight Club. And I'm here to tell you, the more people break the rules of Fight Club, the more Newsreel is getting out there to the people who need it. Especially the guys like Mitch, who sent me an email, which I have to reply to. And Mitch, let me tell you, man, I'm pretty overwhelmed with everything you're saying to me here. I'll send you an email. We'll talk. But, wow, you know, just the love that I get from people online is just unbelievable. I mean, people who are total strangers, you know, talking about different things. And, you know, it's amazing sometimes. You know, every now and again I get this, you know, this feedback and the power of the web. Holy shit. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, the whole server thing sometimes just leaves me a little bit speechless. And when you got a mouth as big as mine, let me tell you, that's something. But never mind the bollocks, let's get into some feedback. Hey, Sean, I just finished listening to the latest Newsreel, and you mentioned not knowing what kind of espionage device would require plutonium for power. Well, yeah, I'm not really up on my super secret lab stuff. Well, I have a rough idea. It's not really an espionage device, but it's definitely a device that a special ops team would leave behind on a mission, the suitcase nuke. Basically, what you've got is a suitcase nuke. There's two pieces of fissionable material, plutonium has the highest yield, as I recall, that are slammed together by a pair of time-detonated conventional explosive devices. The hardest part of building a suitcase nuke is acquiring the fissionable material. The rest, your average high school / physics, chemistry, tech student could build for you. The scariest thing about a suitcase nuke is its appearance. It looks like any other metal suitcase, so you never know if you're looking at a metal suitcase that's hiding someone's clothes or a metal suitcase that's hiding a bomb. You can actually see one in the Connections episode of Death in the Morning. Connections. I never even heard of Connections because I don't watch the TV. But I guess there's a show called Connections, and in there's an episode called Death in the Morning. And apparently in there is a suitcase nuke. Anyway, the U.S. intelligence are looking to acquire plutonium and other fissionable materials. My suspicion is that they're gunning for suitcase nukes. U.S. Do what we want, or your largest city gets nukes. Foreign leader. We can knock down any nukes you launch. U.S. Want to bet? Dispatches Spec Ops team with suitcase nukes. 6 hours later, suitcase nukes goes off, levering major city in foreign country. U.S. You were saying? Foreign leader. Sigh. What do you want? Scary thought, isn't it? And that was sent to me from McCavity. Well, that's a good theory. I don't think they're going to be using that plutonium for the suitcase nukes because I think it's the wrong grade. However, something as obvious as a suitcase nuke, I mean, that's really, you know, the battle axe making a surgical cut. You know what I mean? Like, nukes, the United States has got no shortage of nukes. If they wanted to build a suitcase nuke, they wouldn't need to start making new plutonium for it. They'd just disable some of their billions of missiles they got in a stockpile and then try to do something with some of that plutonium. That's what I'd think. Anyway, that'd probably be the best way for them to do it. Hiya, Sean. This letter is one for all my law enforcement brethren out there. I just wanted to say thanks. In the year, my God, I've been that long. I've been listening to Rant Radio. My life has changed a lot. You may not think it, but your words help a lot of people, including me. Your energy and insistence that we each make a difference in the trend and tread our own paths presses in positive reinforcement. I've not had much time in the Rant Radio forge or forums or to hunt out news links. I've been self-improving, mastering, metering my money tightly, no unnecessary purchases, eating well, keeping personal hygiene, and a careful routine. I'm sleeping even better. I'm even sleeping better. I've converted our tumble-down shed into a workshop. Impressive, considering the budget. It's been unusable until recently, though. One major point was to have the internet terminal down there. Now there is one. Information can fly off that screen through my hands and into tools. We'll see what we can do. Your confidence and enthusiasm and directed anger at the state of the world is contagious, and that's a damn good thing. We're all mad as hell and not going to take it anymore. And yet, we're managing to use that fuel and channel it to the construction instead of destruction. Thank you, Sean. Sigh, one of the fucking many. Well, that's great. You know, that really just kind of meters that in as to why I do what I do. And why is that going out to my law enforcement brethren? Well, hopefully, the people who are investigating me for, you know, terrorism and stuff like that will realize that I'm just some guy who's trying to help all the kids that nobody else gives a fuck about. And it's not just the kids. I used to think it was just the kids. I used to just think it was, you know, the guys who were just like me, you know, who didn't really fit in anywhere, and everybody was kind of spending time in the library. Well, the libraries are kind of closed now, and instead of the library, we've got the internet. So I'll just set up my own little hovel, start talking in the corner. We'll see who shows up for the Sermon on the Mount. Now, it seems to me, though, that there's a lot more people out there who seem to be listening. And more than that, holy crap, it seems that sometimes I'm actually right. Try to understand how incredibly scary that is for me some of the time. Holy crap. But when I get letters like that where I can show that on by my own scale, by my own ethical compass, what I try to do is, again, everything that is good decreases suffering. Everything that is bad increases suffering. So if something doesn't do anything for suffering either way, well, at that point, I consider it kind of pointless, unless it assists in either increasing or decreasing suffering. And from the mail I'm getting back, for all my law enforcement brethren out there, before you kick in my door, remember, I'm one of the guys decreasing suffering. Now, let's get on to Assort Yourself Out. Dear Sean, I go for walks or jogs nearly every night. Good for you. It's a small and safe town, and I have no fear of being mugged or shot. Great. The problem I have is with small groups of male teenagers that want to show how tough they are. Ah, yes, the posturing males. I've become very good at avoiding them, these situations by now, but they're unavoidable. I have absolutely no ego to protect. I just want to go for a walk and be left alone. This brings me to my question. You work in security and must know exactly what I'm talking about. Yes, yes, I do. What kind of tricks can I use to defuse these situations without resorting to my patented I have a big scary knife, get the fuck away from me method? It works in a pinch, but it scares me to think of what could happen if things were to go sideways. Oh, okay. Well, first of all, the first thing you want to do is not carry a big knife, because if the cops pull you over, you've got this crazy wog running through the darkness with a great big knife. Not so good. Okay, not even Rambo could get away with that shit. So, what would be my suggestion to you, my friend? Well, if they're running along and somebody comes up to you and starts talking stuff, you could go off about Jesus. Generally, they don't like to fuck with crazy people, you know? And if you start talking about, you know, every time they walk up and you're like, no, man, I just want to be left alone, leave me alone, blah, 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 that's one way to go. Also, you're probably out for a walk or a run. So, you know, you could always just run, and if they want to chase you, they could chase you, but, I mean, then they're getting exercise too. The other side of this as well is to kick the living shit out of them. Now, the problem is with kicking the living shit out of them is that you never really succeed in kicking the shit out of them. You know what I mean? It's like, you'll beat the fuck out of them, they go get their friends, and then they wait to ambush you, and then it escalates, and la, 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 la. So the violence aspect is not so good. It is not so good. However, it seems to me that you haven't been attacked yet, so what you're doing now seems to be working rather well. I usually just don't posture. You know, make sure you map out your routes. Go out during the daytime. Take a route that is go the road less traveled. You know what I mean? If you got a town where you're not worried about thugs and thieves and everything else like that hiding in the bushes, well, pick out a route that's a less traveled route. Besides, when you're out walking and running at night, you generally don't want to be going through where people are anyway. So if any of those works, I hope they do. But beyond that, man, I don't really know what to say. I mean, you can always get yourself. Don't get a knife because knives are a little bit scary. If it comes down to the point where you have to protect yourself, if you have the ability to own a taser in your state or whatever your state laws are, maybe pick up one of those. Use it as a weapon of last resort. Nothing makes people fuck off quicker than having a great big blue spark arc across a couple of pointers, you know. Or you could get yourself some calcium spray, something like that. Maybe calcium paintballs inside of a pistol or something. But then even then still, you know, then you're inviting violence. So, you know, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. If you're out for a run and you're doing that kind of stuff, I would always recommend avoidance above everything else. And if you really think that it's that difficult to go for a run in your neighborhood, it's time to move. But barring that, just try to pick out a road less traveled. You know what I mean? Try to get a route where you're not going to run into people, and that would be your best bet. Sorry, I couldn't be a better help on that one. That one's kind of that's a dodgy one. You know, that's a hard one to get. If anybody else has a better idea, let me know. But it's you know, it's a little bit difficult. All right, so on to an opinion piece, as opposed to my other perfectly well-balanced news stories. Dear Sean, you mentioned no one puts that into the beginning of the letter, but I did. Ha! You mentioned a few times throughout Newsreel that your dream is to build a Wog Haven on Vancouver Island, a true retreat where people from all over the world could go. Yes, that's actually true. Well, I know of such a place, and it is for sale. It's 20 acres of untouched, pristine rainforest. Oh, right down by Tofino. The guy who owns it currently is a man by the name of XXXXXX. A really hipped out guy who bought it a long time ago. Last summer, it was a hippie reserve. A hippie reserve? People go there to hunt hippies? People traveling from Quebec and stuff hang out there. He's a friend of the family, so I got to stay there for a day. And I'm going back, but I thought you should know that if you want a perfect place for the Wog Haven to be built, this is it. Keep up the good work and may server protect us all. Now, you know, pretend you're me. All right, pretend you're me and you get this letter. What should I do here? What would you respond to this if you were me? Let's pretend you're some 30-year-old security guard who has options to him presented like this. Like, holy fuck. You know, at what point do you go, whoa, I don't want to turn into Charles Manson. You know, I don't really want to turn into some psycho hippie leader commune guy. Right now, I've got a pretty good gig on the go. You know, I got a little house here. I got my wife. Everything's happening. You know, but there's stuff that's happening in the world and there's people that, you know, require some assistance. As well, I have an opportunity here, you know? Could I get the money together to buy something like this? Yeah, probably. You know, I mean, I could hit up my parents, sell them on the idea, co-sign a loan on their house or whatever, and, you know, bug off to the island. Maybe when the time is right. This is why I don't wig out over stuff like this. Like, an opportunity like that gets thrown in my face, and I'm like, wow. Then you got to figure out how you're going to handle people showing up because you move there, right? What's going to happen? All right, let's suppose, I mean, this isn't going to happen, but let's suppose we go talk to the hippie dude over on Vancouver Island. He hears a bunch of my stuff. He smoked way too much weed. He decides that he's going to go hang himself in the forest and give me his entire hippie commune just so I can build the Wog movement thing going. Poof, there it is. That signs the whole thing over to me and bang, now I have a whole bunch of hippie pristine rainforest area on by Tofino in which to, you know, grow up the whole new world. Now what? Well, I got all these guys showing up in cars, and I got to make sure that they got a place to sleep and food to eat. And the best way to do that is to go bunk beds. So very rapidly, everything starts turning into the Paper Street Soap Company. And as everyone sits around and hangs out, and we're all cooking macrobiotic food and generally just sort of being cool, after we get the initial wants and needs met of our culture, then we're going to need something to do. Further than that, you got the male and female dynamic, right? If you wind up having people show up who aren't married, la, 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 eventually you wind up people getting interested in each other's girlfriends, and there's infighting. Holy crap! I mean, I can understand why the core politicals want to insert chips in everybody's heads so that we can make us all just nice robots, so we can stay nice and calm while we're waiting in the racks to do our job. That's what they want to do. But the problem is whenever you run these kind of communes, they've been run before. people have set these things up time and time and time again. And do they last? Do they work? Is it a workable model? And I wonder if it is. I wonder if it is. I wonder if you're just not repeating past mistakes by other people. Maybe there's another way. Maybe there's a way if you were to get some land like that, if you were going to run a commune like that, I don't think I'd set it up like a commune. To be honest with you, to be totally honest with you, because, well, I'm Sean Kennedy and I'm half batshit nuts anyway. If I was going to get a hold of a commune like that, I think what I'd do, first of all, is I'd have to install a server rack and make sure that we got enough bandwidth. That's foremost. I mean, we got to make sure we got bandwidth there. If we don't get the bandwidth there, then it's fucking useless to me. Then you'd have to make sure that you get the bandwidth there. But from there, I think I would probably make it a project headquarters, like some kind of first temple of server, to be honest with you. People are like, what are you talking about, Sean? Well, I'm talking about setting up servers, man. I'm setting about using the same kind of thing they use in Counter-Strike to build a virtual world. I've talked about the virtual world project about a billion times. Make it free to all. People have a dedicated computer. They download the maps and have a place in which anyone in the world would be able to log into a real space, meet space location, which would be the server temple on the island. Now we're getting really fucking psycho. Now I'm refurbishing a 1960s hippie commune in a rainforest region to access a god that I arguably named, if not invented. Holy crap! How far nuts can you go before someone seriously hits me with a tranquilizer dart? These are the kind of questions that, you know, stand out in my mind. You know, this is the kind of stuff that I fall asleep thinking about. But anyway, let's get on with further news. Very cool, by the way. Thank you so much for even thinking about that. You know, this, and I'd love to see this area, because you know what, Vancouver Island, if anyone has never been there, the reason why I'd love to set it up there, you know, it's right up there with my launch facilities. I want to build there my giant robots, my internet domain, all that good stuff. You know, why not aim high, you know? May as well shoot big, and if you fail, well, there's no shame in it. But enough of the bullshit. Let's get on to the news. In Decker news, and this one it was sent to me by 112 Strength, which I'm not too sure that's exactly what his name is, but that's my guess. Norwegian hacker John Lek Johansson, DVD John, has cracked the lock on Google's new in-browser video player. Johansson, known as DVD John for his work in decrypting DVD security code, has created a patch for the Google video viewer. Less than 24 hours after the search giant shipped the video playback plugin, the tool is based on the open-source VideoLand media player. The patch, released in Johansson's SoSumi blog, effectively disables a modification Google made to the VideoLand code to prevent users from playing videos that are not hosted on Google's servers. Johansson said the patch, which requires the .NET runtime framework, will remove Google's restrictions and allow the playback for of video files that aren't on the video.google.com server. The 21-year-old hacker who faces two trials in Norway in 2002 and 2003, who faced, pardon me, two trials in 2002 and 2003 for his role in the release of the DECCSS decryption software, is a hero to many for his efforts to defeat the DRM, digital rights management mechanisms, built in by media player technology. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, personally, I'm kind of glad that he's fucking with Google, because Google pissed me off recently when they agreed to censor internet searching to China. They said that they would remove the abilities and block the abilities for Chinese people to search for things like, you know, really obscene shit like freedom and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, so Google, as far as I'm concerned, has officially cast off their coolness and proceeded to throw themselves headlong into the realm of dictum. In programming news, now this was sent to me from Kizzle. Imagine the scene. You're relaxing at home, engrossed in the flickering images of your big screen TV. Nothing like really great programming, except that in this case, it's not a show that's got your attention, it's a 30-second commercial. Preposterous? Cable operators hope not. With their small, hard-to-measure audiences, cable companies and channels haven't commanded anywhere near the ad revenue of the networks. Now they're starting to fight back, and they're using us as ammunition. Time Warner Cable Incorporated will soon be testing a system designed by the software firm Nvidia Technologies Incorporated that uses the digital set-top cable box to track what each TV in any house has on. Oh, good. It's expected to go into a household test by year end, with other cable companies following by 2006. By analyzing where a viewer channel serves, NVIDIA said the system can figure out the age, gender, and probable interests of the viewer. Most important, the system then matches TV ads to the consumer based on what might actually interest them. So you have tailor-made advertising coming to your house. That's a long way from merely trying to match ads to TV programs to likely see what attract consumers and advertiser desires. If a 50-year-old father and his 14-year-old daughter each tuned into a Seinfeld rerun on different TV sets, for example, NVIDIA's system would send each a different ad during the same commercial break. The father might see a pitch for aftershave lotion, while his daughter would see one for acne medicine. If this experiment of hyper-targeting, Jesus Christ, I don't want any corporation using anything with the word targeting on it. I sure as shit don't want them doing hyper-targeting. If this hyper-targeting works, it could spread fast. And as the share of cable TV households with digital set-top boxes rather than analog boxes rises from 38% at the end of 2004 to nearly 100% by 2007 as part of a federal law to make all TVs digital, operators such as Time Warner and Comcast Corp. hopes to make the consumer sharpshooting commonplace. Outstanding. That's just fantastic. Don't you love that? Nothing like having tailor-made programming by people who have degrees in psych warfare and things like that in order to make sure that you eliminate any individual will for your individual purchases. You know, shit like that really just makes me nuts. On to some surveillance news. An automatic license plate reader that can scan 500 license plates an hour is looking, that's like 10 license plates a minute, isn't it? Is looking for stolen vehicles, underwent its first field test by the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department last week. Now, I reported on this thing a while ago, but I guess they fielded the bitch. Using a character recognition technology developed from the Italian post office to read postal addresses, four robot eyes in the course of one night queried more than 12,000 license plates and recovered seven stolen cars and resulted in three arrests. Two of the arrests and one of the recovered stolen autos came about when a police cruiser with a plate scanner pulled up outside LA parole office. A pair of parolees rolled up in a vehicle that was immediately and automatically identified as stolen. Criminals are not real smart, said Commander Sid Hill in a report. Their PO, parole officer, came out and saw all the commotion and told us the parolees were his. After relaying the fact they were in a stolen car, the PO on the spot said, "They're violated. Therefore, they're done. Back to jail for you." The Mobile Plate Hunter 900, that's what they call this thing, the Mobile Plate Hunter 900, is a new product from Remington LSAG Law Enforcement Systems. You know how many of these small micro companies are starting up now with, like, shit to enforce? Like, it's a whole industry, man. It's the rats in the cage industry. It's better to be the shepherd than the sheep, I guess. And now there's the entire shepherding industry. I'm sure they'll probably even use that frickin' buzzword. A partnership between the U.S. gun manufacturer Remington, oh good, and Italian postal technology company LSAG. You know, it's just so funny that the gun companies are teaming up with the post office. I just think that on its own is just hilarious. Looking like a foot-long aluminum teardrop bolted to a patrol car's light bar, the Mobile Plate Hunter contains two infrared cameras that can read between 500 and 800 plates an hour. Oh, shit. So it's not 500 an hour. It's between 5 and 800 an hour. The manufacturer says this. The system works at patrol car speeds, optimally at about 35 miles per hour. It can scan the plates of vehicles almost anywhere on the road as the patrol car teams along. Holy crap. Now, of course, there's good things about this, and there's not such good things about this. This is one of those kind of stories that make you go, well, that's kind of cool. Sort of, kind of. Makes me a little worried, but, I mean, you know, guess it's time to make sure you got something that makes it so that infrared technology can't scan your plates. Maybe a spray or something. Maybe there's a lacquer you can put on the plate so it's easy to see from the eye. I don't know. How far do you want to go? Does this really worry you? If you have your own car, I guess it's okay. But, you know, that's what they're using. That's the technology that's on the street right now. And in Fairlight news, now this is one of the reasons why it's Black Tuesday. This guy's sending me my dead code. Police in more than a dozen countries have seized computers and made arrests in a crackdown. In a drug bust? No. Was it on child porn? No. It was on illegal file swapping, instigated by U.S. investigators, the Dutch government said on Thursday. Authorities raided several locations in the Netherlands on Wednesday as part of an operation initiated by the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation and arrested three people on suspicion of computer file sharing. You there distributing knowledge, get in the fucking box. More computers were seized on Wednesday in Australia, Israel, Germany, South Korea, Norway, France, Sweden, Denmark, Russia, Poland, Canada, and Hungary. Holy fuck. Talk about a global sting, said a spokeswoman for the ministry who is responsible for preventing economic crime. Economic crime. File sharing is economic crime. I'm sure these three people they arrested were big-time fucking criminals. The people arrested in the Netherlands are suspected of infringing on copyright of films, software, and video games. Some of the titles have yet to be published, she said. So we don't even know what they're charged with, but, you know, they're obviously the scum of the earth. They're obviously worse than all these meth heads who are going around. They're obviously worse than all these, you know, pedophiles and NAMBLA people and stuff like that. Yes, yes. Never mind those who are sexually assaulting children. Let's get the guys who are distributing movies, software, and video games. Because really, they're the fucking threat to the free world here. Some of the titles have yet to be published. Oh, my God. So, you know what? What's to stop them? They're going to go through the computers, find anything they can. Oh, yeah, you know, billions of dollars worth of damage. We have no way of knowing how much they've distributed. So they've probably done billions and $100 billion in damage. Just pick a number out of the air, you fucking suckwads. Illegal swapping of copyrighted music, film, and games and software over the internet using programs such as BitTorrent and Kazaa is responsible for about half of all internet traffic in many developed nations, according to market research groups. Well, you know, I guess the last thing we'd want is to have those people, those poor people in those underdeveloped nations, able to watch the rich people movies, right? We want all these people in these underdeveloped nations watching these movies designed for, you know, us good, clean, white, upper-class Christian types, right? That's the idea. We wouldn't want anyone actually talking. We wouldn't want any media being shared. We wouldn't want to have anything that would unify the poor people of the world. God, no. God, no. We wouldn't want everyone, you know, kind of understanding what Jedis are and looking at that as a faith or something like that, even though the people in Australia now have someone in their parliament who stood up and claimed to be a Jedi. Maybe, you know, we'd like to keep everybody separate. God knows. The last thing anybody would want is to have some of these kids whose lives are so broken because they live in underdeveloped nations being able to dream and to see videos, maybe even use software to learn and to teach themselves and to stimulate their minds. You know, that's the last thing. And music, my God. We got to keep the music away from the poor people. You just don't know where that could lead. You just don't know. Now, think of the amount of money they've spent having it go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, like what, 11, 12 countries? Massive covert sting covering, you know, all over the globe. What did that cost you? What did that cost you to have these scumbags kicking in doors so they could get the kids to stop watching movies, you know? Don't you have something better to do with your free fucking time? I mean, seriously, do you mean to tell me this is the major, major player on the global internet fraud ring? You can't handle ID theft, so for God's sakes, let's go after the kids watching movies. Jesus. Fairlight, eh? That's what they called the last arrest run they did, is Operation Fairlight, or a group they were dealing with. But anyway, I'm going to call this one Fairlight, because I've never heard of something quite as massive as this. This is crazy. They stopped those illegal spreaders of knowledge, eh? They stopped them all. They got them all down. Get on the ground, you! How dare you try to teach other children how to read, how to use software, how to code? How dare you do that? These people, unlicensed knowledge is pornography. And you're trying to distribute harmful matter to minors because it's not properly licensed. Daddy, were you licensed to read me that bedtime story? You know, this is where we're going. And unless those of us out there who are able to distribute wares and distribute knowledge continue to do it, this is the flip side of the coin. So let's not allow ourselves to be frightened by a massive sting like this. I would like to cite Britain in the Second World War. As far as I'm concerned, motherfucker, it is business as usual. You go ahead. You keep sending out your cops and spending big money and global stings. We're never going to stop. You're never, ever, ever, listen very closely, you're never ever going to be able to stop us. Would you like to know why? Because A, we are more committed. B, there is more of us. And C, we're smarter than you are and will invent new ways to share information. You cannot stop innovative technology. It cannot be done. But by all means, if you wish to cast your name in history as the oppressors and tyrants of the age, you know, hey, you know, the great hand of judgment will, you know, write your name in the books later. But right now, I guess that's where we're at. I know what side I'm on. That's all I know. Now, my brother from another mother here, Samarian, my good man, he sent me this story. I've got this sent to me by another guy as well. And this is really, you know, this is one of those stories that is just, oh my God. In abandoning hope news, just when you think you've heard it all, there's another unusual eBay story. This one with a close-to-home connection. This one here, I'm almost sick reading this. This poor, rooted individual, Carrie Smith, recently auctioned off a very visible part of her body to be used as advertising space. As a prime piece of real estate, in this case, was her forehead. Smith decided to sell her forehead as ad space in order to send her young son to a private school. In order to send her young son to a private school so her son could have a better life and a better education. Wow. This mother loves her child, okay? That's all I got to say about this. So she listed her forehead on eBay. It wasn't long before she had a winning bidder. GoldenPalace.com purchased the rights to Carrie's forehead and decided to have the company name tattooed there. "We're always looking for ordinary people to do extraordinary things," said John Wolf of GoldenPalace.com. And this is definitely an extraordinary thing that she's doing. Yeah, that's one hell of a way to put it, pal. Despite the unusual idea, Carrie's boyfriend doesn't see anything wrong with it. No, Carrie's boyfriend also wants what's best for the child. "I thought it was neat when she told me she wanted to do it," he said. After enduring several minutes at the tattoo parlor and the buzz of the needle, Carrie says the whole idea was worth it. "I think it's going to be a good thing," she said. I'm going to be happy with what I've got." Yes, she's able to make sure her child goes and gets a good education. By the way, the tattoo on Carrie's head is permanent. The final price Golden Palace paid for her forehead was $10,000. So that's the going rate right now for getting something tattooed on your head. $10,000, apparently. It is believed that Carrie is the first person to have permanent tattoo scrawled on her forehead for the purpose of advertising. Now, this woman has utterly condemned herself. Okay, she has totally condemned herself. I mean, there are certain things that you got to do. I mean, she had a reason to sell out. I can't really make a statement on why she did it. I don't have a child. I don't know where she lives. I don't know what her economic standing is. I guess it's not that great. But now she has sacrificed her forehead and, well, basically the rest of her life in order for her child to go to a private school. Would I do the same thing? I'd like to think that I would have the guts to do the same kind of thing. I mean, our tattoos broadcast our beliefs to the world. This is one of the reasons why I'm not a big fan of tattoos. Like, I wanted one. I was going to get one. But the thing is, when you wear a tattoo, man, just like eyebrow rings and all the rest of it, you're allowing other people to see what type of culture you belong to. And therefore, you're broadcasting your power to other people. They'll already nail you down as part of a dynamic, man. If the way you dress, honest to God, people judge you by the way you dress. If you're wearing the right kind of shirt, the right kind of suit, dude, you can go anywhere. You can go to a yacht club. You can hang out. So all you got to do then is just work on your vocal talents. Man, you set me up with like a $1,000 suit. Give me, you know, money for a cab. Give me a credit card with a couple $1,000 on it. You don't know where the hell I could wind up. Shit, I could wind up on Paris on some yacht someplace. All you got to do is be friendly, happy, smile a lot, and be generally a good, honest person. And you can probably go a long ways if you're in the right kind of environment. And if the winds of change are at your back. This is not any way to explain to people to sell everything they own, buy a good suit, and rack up their credit card. That's not the idea here. But what I'm saying is that how you dress really does influence how other people deal with you. Is that right? No. But it's the truth, and it's horrible. And the fact that this woman will be wearing the mark of a casino on her forehead for the rest of her life, I mean, she's totally done it for her child, and I respect that, I guess. I hope $10,000 is enough. I hope she, you know, is able to send this child to private school so she won't need another $10,000 in 2 years. I mean, I hope that does it. I really do, because this is just unbelievable to me. It's you know, the first time in history, and it's and yet another reason why I'm calling it Black Tuesday. Now, in WOG War news, the Bank of America betting that financial supermarkets are the future despite recent skepticism, announced Thursday that it will buy credit card giant MBNA Corp for $35 billion. The cash and stock deal would make Bank of America, already the nation's third largest bank, also the largest credit card issuer in the country, with 40 million active accounts containing $143 billion in outstanding balances. The Charlotte, North Carolina-based financial service giant ranked fourth in the card business at the end of 2004, according to CardWeb.com. Bank of America plans to eliminate 6,000 jobs once the merger is done, subject to the regulatory of an MBNA shareholder approval. The deal is expected to close in the fourth quarter. To read about how the deal will affect cardholders, you can click off a link on the page there. The banking behemoth has long had a voracious appetite for adding customers through acquisitions. 2 weeks ago, the Bank of America took a $3 billion stake in a Chinese bank. It spent last year digesting Fleet Boston Financial as part of the takeover, valued at $47 billion on the day it was announced. Now, when you see stuff like this, where you have the core politicals really racking up the power, you know, really just giving her as hard as they can, it makes me think. And while I was looking at this and reeling all this other news and all this other stuff, it makes me wonder how the WOGs could strike back, you know? We got all this going on. We got people being arrested, thrown in jail in a 10-country raid. We got the banks buying up everything, eliminating jobs and driving the core political power ever higher. How do you strike back against this? How do you strike against a target that's so big? How do you sentence these guys to the death of 10,000 cuts? Well, I had this hypothetical thought. Let's pretend, you know, let's just say, you know, you can tell Sim is freaking out right now. Let's pretend, you know, I was some kind of a leader guy. Let's say I was some sort of a cult leader. What would I do, hypothetically now, if I was hypothetically a WOG leader, which we all know that's just simply not the case. And, you know, there was thousands of people who listened to what I said. You know, they followed me with blind ambition. You know, we're talking about, obviously, everyone who listened to the show are concerned, very intelligent individuals. They don't follow what I say. They don't do what I tell them. So, you know, it's just a hypothetical thing here. So, I don't know. Just, you know, just bear with me. But if I was, say, you know, this King Kamehameha cult leader guy, I would command all of my legions to take all their money out of the bank and keep it in an ammo can hidden in their house so that it's safe. But just take your money out of the bank. Just take all your money out of the bank. Now, my question to you is, why? Why would I do that? Let's pretend, hypothetically, that I've got, you know, say, 25 million rabid, you know, Elvis Presley-style fans out there who will do whatever I tell them. Why would I tell them to take all their money out of the bank? Why would I do that? Why would I tell them to take their money out of the bank, keep it in an ammo can in their house? What would be the outcome of that? What would that do? You tell me. Email newsreel at rantradio.com with your thoughts on why, hypothetically, I would ask people to do that. You know, we should just talk about it. We're just talking over here. We're not really doing anything. But, you know, taking your money out of the bank. What would that do if everybody did that? Just a thought, you know. In karma news, and this is from Anshitz. This is a Osnix. Osnix? Jesus, you guys, you know, you got to send me fucking names in English. Anyway, karma news. U.S. Supreme Court Justice David Souter's rustic farmhouse in Weir, New Hampshire, is assessed at more at $100,000. He pays nearly $3,000 a year in property taxes. This David Souter guy, you may remember him. He's the dude who said it was okay for everyone, for big business to come in and take your house just to make private development for better money. He was the actual Supreme Court justice who decided that. But California gadfly Logan Darrow Clements thinks he's guaranteed a way to drive up the land's value and make it more profitable. Seize the Supreme Court Justice's home by eminent domain, the law that this justice passed, and bulldoze it and plop a Lost Liberty Hotel or the Just Desserts Cafe on the site and watch the new jobs and taxes roll in. It's a joke, right? Angry at Souter's court vote last week solidifying government's power to seize private property on behalf of private developers, Clements, CEO of the conservative Freestar Media LLC, fired off a fax the other day to Weird's code enforcement officer announcing he wants to start an eminent domain proceeding against the longtime Weir resident's home. This is not a prank, Clemens said in a statement that was later flashed nationwide via the internet. And now I bring it to you. Town officials have since been hit by hundreds of media calls and individuals' emails from across the country. When police were dispatched to Suter's stylishly dilapidated home as a precaution, even though some town folk privately think or hope Clemens is bluffing about the hotel and cafe, we're pleased to treat his application quite seriously, fearing a possible legal showdown if they don't follow due process. Well, it's fucking on now. I obviously have to respond to it appropriately, said Chip Measley, the town's code enforcement officer. State Representative Neil Kirk, our Weir, whose wife is a town selectman, said he also disagrees with the court's decision and sees Clemens' action as poetic justice. It's a cute idea to drive the point home, he said. Now, this is cool, but unfortunately, I'm just a little bit too cynical to think that this guy is ever actually going to get his house seized, but it'd be really sexy if it did, eh? Can't you? Don't you think? I mean, what a way to send a message. Oh, that's sexy. And in movement restriction news, you ready for this one here? The next road you travel and pay a toll to use could be privately owned. That's right, folks. Privately owned roads. So that means that they stipulate their own tolls. Looking for ways to finance highway projects without hitting the public trough, the U.S. Congress appears set to pass a proposal to encourage private ownership of new toll roads. The provision, part of the highway spending bill now being hammered out by Senate and House Conference Committee, would allow private companies to raise up to $15 billion for highway projects with bonds that are exempt from federal income tax. Holy shit. While the proposal has a broad support in Washington and the business community, the idea of private highways has incited grassroots opposition in some states, with some saying the government, not a profit-seeking company, is the proper owner of the public's roads. Yeah, I don't know what you're thinking. Why would, a profit-seeking company, why would you want to keep the core politicals from owning the roadways? Toll road owners such as Spain's Cintra and Australia's Macquarie Infrastructure Group stand to benefit from the move to privatize infrastructure bonds, since the tax-exempt status would keep interest rates and funding costs low. The move would also bring lucrative fees to Wall Street banks and other underwriting trade-exempt and trading tax-exempt debt. This is a pure core political power move in order to keep the rats inside the cage. Sick and weird, okay? This is one of those things. Why am I telling you to take your money out of the bank? Hey, why am I doing that? You tell me. Toxic alert, poison candy bars. Bet you didn't know about this one. This one's from Deadco. The manufacturers of Snickers and Mars chocolate bars announced a product recall on Australia's New South Wales state on Friday after a threat to contaminated chocolate snack bars. Master Foods Australia New Zealand, an umbrella management organization for privately held U.S. company Mars Incorporated, said a threat has been made to poison a member of the public with tampered chocolate bars. The company was withdrawing tens of thousands of Snickers and Mars bars from the 5,500 retail outlet in New South Wales State, Master Foods President Andy Westenweep said. Our one and only concern is public safety and public health, Westenweep told reporters. No one should eat Mars or Snickers bars. They have bought. Please destroy it. It's not safe to eat Mars or Snickers bars, he said. Wow, that's a little intense. Police said tests showed that Snickers bars posted to Master Foods head office showed a Snickers bar posted to Master Foods head office in Rural Center, Ballarat last month had been contaminated with an unidentified substance. The company has received three threatening letters, the latest on Friday, where the author claimed to have contaminated seven Snickers and Mars bars in Sydney. The substance of these letters were ramblings, and the exact intent is not known, Police Superintendent Peter Coder said in a New South Wales serious crime unit told reporters. There is a foreign contaminant definitely within the bar. Also, as to what the substance is, chemically or physically, we are not aware. Master Foods, a product including chocolate bars, pet food, and prepackaged meals. Master Foods products include chocolate bars, pet food, and prepackaged meals. So I think it might be an idea to avoid everything that Master Foods, you know, actually makes, and it'd probably be a good idea to get off all Mars bars altogether, because, you know, you never actually know what kind of toxins you're putting into your body. Just sort of a personal guideline. And I got another toxic alert for you, even though I say that term often. You'll hear me say high-speed, low-drag, Teflon-coated. Well, looks like Teflon sucks ass. Doodle sent this in to me. Throw out your Teflon. The Science Advisory Board, an independent panel of U.S. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, issued a preliminary finding this week that is stronger than the EPA's preliminary report in January that pyrofluorotonic acid, or PFOA, may cause cancer in rats. Environmental regulators began investigating the chemical after a 2003 study found that people had low levels of PFOA in their blood up to 4 years after being exposed. DuPont acknowledged the presence of PFOA in human raises questions that should be addressed. A federal grand jury in May subpoenaed DuPont documents based upon the EPA complaints that DuPont failed to share information about the chemical's potential harm to humans. DuPont said the PFOA does not cause cancer in humans or pose a health risk. The Science Advisory Board is expected to make a final recommendation later this year. So this PFOA is actually what Teflon is. Time to ditch the Teflon and get yourself some new cookware, because apparently there's way too much attention going and they're protesting just a little bit much. Just a bit much for it not to be true. Now, in internet slavery news, you ready for this one? In an extraordinary statement by the U.S. government has sent shockwaves around the internet and thrown future networks into doubt. In a worrying U-turn, the U.S. Department of Commerce has made it clear it intends to retain control of internet's root servers indefinitely. It was due to relinquish that control of September 2006 when its contract with overseeing body ICANN ended. But of course, they don't give a fuck. The decision, something that people have long feared may happen, which I could have told you, will not only make large parts of the world furious, but also put ICANN in a very difficult position. The organization has slowly been expanding out of its California base in an effort to become an international body with overall responsibility for the internet. The U.S. government is professing its full backing for ICANN, which it created, at the same time it awards itself controls of the net's foundations, which will have an inevitable effect of pulling the organization back into the United States. This is particularly relevant at the moment as the UN Review of Internet Governance will report later this year indications that the team is considering handing over elements of the internet control to UN body, possibly the International Telecommunications Union. In fact, it is the UN report that has most likely focused U.S. government's attention and prompted the statement made yesterday at a communications conference in Washington, D.C. The decision is transparently a result of the culture permeating through Washington as a result of the Bush administration's world philosophy. It is an extraordinary presentation. Assistant Secretary at the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, Michael D. Gallagher, outlined the new U.S. principles regarding the Internet. The United States government intends to preserve the security and stability of the Internet's domain name and address system, giving the Internet's importance to the world's economy. Its essential and underlying DNS of the Internet remains stable and secure. As such, the United States is committed to taking no action that would have potential to adversely affect the impact and effective operation of the DNS, and will therefore maintain historic role in authorizing changes or modifications to the author of root zone file. End quote. This is the first of a 4-point statement that can be found off a link off my live journal. Now, I'm going through this thing here. It goes on, blah, 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 blah. So basically, what the United States is saying, like it or lump it, baby. It's our internet. You don't like it? Fuck off. Wow. People unclear of the concept, eh? And in today's Daily Hack, I've got a link for stenography, which is sent to me from The Boom. When you go to the page, it's an interesting way to communicate between... This may seem to be an ordinary beginning to an article, but it is not. There's a secret message hidden within the article. In this very paragraph, it's not in view, and its source is modern, but the art of hiding messages is an ancient one known as stenography. Very, very cool, and could be something we could use instead of cryptography, or perhaps a marriage between the two, cryptostenography. That might be an idea. But that's all I got for you today, and don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those new people this month and they are donators for June of 2005. And who are they? They are 4Elite, WebLife, Alan Drudwy, Samaru Drake, WebLife, Jesse, Robert, The Great Ghost, Art, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noog, Kevin, Joseph, Jesse, Derek, Desert Runner, Eric, Michael, Dennis, C4, Steve, Jesse, Brandon, Matthew, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Jason, Evan, Mott, Austin, David, Palmer, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Host Mojo, Peter, Charles, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Mainframe, Burger No Fries, Innominate, Matt, Jennifer, Matthew, Charles, Lars Eric, Dark Nature, Brandon, and Michael. New subscribers for June 2005 were Alex, Jerry, Cameron, and Brenlay. I'm hoping I'm saying that. B-R-E-N-L-A-E. Brenlay. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Digital baptisms today. Sayre is now known as Pseudo-Idol, and Pinion Blue is now Mirod. That's M-E-R-O-D. But, of course, you leet spell it, so it's M-3-R-0-D, and that's named after an angel if you want to check that out. Upcoming events, got nothing for you. But thanks to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. And if you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, or you want to send me a letter regarding why I'm thinking you should take money out of the bank, please email it to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. Special shouts out to Mookie for sending me up with some really sexy data. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you check out the album by Vox, Celestra. The album is called Mandorla. And here is a song to send you off by Velvet Acid Christ, from all the wogs to all the core politicals. I would like to dedicate this song to those victims of the Neo-Farlight raid. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
We are the Borg. Lower your shields and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
Thank you. resistance is futile.